And I had this own like thought process of, if you don't get this on the first try, you are absolutely just exiled from anything technology. And I didn't.
Welcome back to Simple Tech Media, episode 6. Nikki and I feel like we are finally starting to get a feeling for where we're at with our podcast episodes. We were thrilled that last week's was nice and to the point and a lot shorter. And that is our goal with this one as well, to streamline a little bit and to get out some of the extra. And we were talking about this. Nikki and I are both teachers, and we say that all the time, but sometimes people start listening for the first time. So Nikki and I both teach technology classes at a college. And as a teacher, those teachers out there, you repeat yourself over and over and over again because nobody ever listens all at the same time. So you have to repeat yourself. And we see that whenever we're editing, that we have to cut all those repeats out. And I think we're finally starting to remember while we're actually having a conversation that we don't, in fact, need to repeat ourselves 27 times, that we can say it once or twice, and then that should be good.
That's allowed us to keep everything nice and to the point. And my students don't want to listen to me for 50 minutes. So I'm sure people online don't want to listen to me talk for 50 minutes. So we're going to try to keep it nice and concise.
Exactly. Let's start our episode off by talking about some things that we've been pushing ourselves to learn. That's one of our goals here, is to kind of get out of this stagnant place, which is where I feel like I've been, especially I think with COVID since 2020. I've just really noticed how stuck I had gotten in a lot of the same things that we do day in and day out. And so we are pushing ourselves to learn new things. We're pushing ourselves to give, I'm pushing myself to give myself permission to actually take the time to do things that I've always wanted to do. I just don't give myself permission to do it. And that sounds weird. You know, I'm a 41-year-old woman here, not giving myself permission to try out whatever. But sometimes it feels like you have to do the more important things on your task list before you allow yourself to do something that you're interested in. And this has given me the opportunity to say, no, I am going to take the time to learn that. And for some people, it may not be that exciting, but for me, it's been fun getting to learn some new things and really pay attention to some of the new features that I'm seeing just in my day-to-day work, and then some other things that I've been reaching out for. So let's talk about some things that we came across this week or that are in our near future that we're wanting to get hands-on with and get a little bit of knowledge under our belts to be able to improve our skills. Nikki, do you have anything that comes to mind when we think of what we're doing that
I
is new?
do. Okay, so I actually got the great opportunity to work with some edtech stuff, which is so exciting. I
Nice.
mentioned this before. My classes, they're all Microsoft based, and I mean, that is my home base. I love Microsoft. Those of you that have watched any of my videos, I feel like you can tell how much I love Microsoft. I feel so comfortable.
That is her
Yes, so
comfort.
comfortable. Although there is a new feature that I just saw today, which we can talk about later, maybe a little plug. But I was so excited that I got the opportunity to try some ed tech stuff just to put my hand in something that I haven't done before or experienced. And so I actually got to practice some coding skills, some beginning coding skills, just teaching thought processes and how to critical think and work through some of these scenarios using one of those games. And another shameless plug, we have a video coming out about it so soon. So be on the lookout for that. We're going through the process of Tina's explaining this game for us and how to use it, and then really the benefits of what it can be used for, not only in just an educational setting, but you can use this on a day-to-day basis to teach these practices to children. I think, but we said that it was 4+. That was the age that we looked at. I think it was somewhere.
Right, the specific game we used was a four, about a four plus, maybe about 4 to 6 age, I would
So
say, is the age
just
group for
getting
it.
them understanding those critical thinking skills at such a young age, I mean, you know, we are trying to teach our college students how to critically think. So if right. if we could do that at such a young age, that is incredible. And so I'm not mm-hmm. going to spoil the game because mm-hmm. it's so fun and it's so exciting, okay. but I did get to practice that and I loved every single second of it. So be on the lookout for a video coming soon this week for a game on or for an educational technology game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's for Coding for Kids. It's a game that is available on Amazon for that. That's where I found it and that's where I got it. And it's been so much fun for me to get to yeah. get hands-on with over these last few years. I will say, so you just said that, you know, we try to work with our college students on mm-hmm. being able to think through a process critically. And it's yeah. it's hard sometimes to get, and I'm not just saying college students because I'm not picking on any specific no. age group here. And I fall in this category myself too. Sometimes we're just so mm-hmm. stuck. And I just mentioned earlier, you know, being stuck in a rut, being kind of stagnant and only doing right. what you know how to do. And it can be difficult to push yourself out of that box and to think in a yeah. whole different way. And the game that I played with Nikki, I gave her a set. I have two sets of this specific game. I bring it to my class and I give it to the college students and say, okay, let's look at this from the eyes of a young child and let's think through how we can, you know, learn this basic, yeah. basic coding. And I've had a lot of different reactions in that. Sometimes they really get into it. I'll be honest, if I were in a college class and my teacher brought in a coding game for me to play and I got to, you know, mm-hmm. get hands on and do anything besides, you know, right. sitting there taking notes in the lecture,
right.
I would be thrilled. And I'm always surprised at the different reactions that I get from mm-hmm. just people in general whenever we talk about it, but specifically in my experience has been with the students. The college age students, and some of them really get into it and they get really competitive with it. They really work well with others. And some of them are so scared to even think about how it could work that they're bored with it before I even right. take it out of the box. And it's so interesting to me to see that difference. And it was fun to bring that out and to see what yeah. your take on that would be. And
it was so exciting. It was so good to force that mindset of, okay, I have a problem. I see the outcome. I know what I have to do, mm-hmm. but how do I get step by step? Right. How do I get to that solution? And I think it means so much. It's impacting my life so much right now because I'm teaching Excel. We're in Excel hardcore right now. And we're just doing a mm-hmm. bunch of summary statistics. So count this if it matches whatever you're looking for. And I am having the problem right. with a lot of my students in this section, not just this class, but every time I teach this section, they just get into a rut of just putting in the same thing because that's what we've done before. Well, the same thing we've done before mm-hmm. isn't going to work. And that's what we saw with this game. Well, I have to not just mm-hmm. memorize, I go this way, whatever, and I don't want to spoil it. So pay attention to the video when it right. comes out. But we can't just do the same things that we've always done before. Sometimes we have to adapt, and that's where
right.
really honing in on mm-hmm. that critical thinking and teaching that skill. It is a skill mm-hmm. to learn, and I think that is so incredible mm-hmm. and such a good tool. Yeah.
I am such mm-hmm. a big picture person. I want to be able to think through it from start to finish. And I think that's just something that is right. just built into me. I don't know that that's been taught to me. I do know that I've had training up until that point that has really right. grown those skills, but I'm definitely a big picture person. That to me, that specific game and being able to look at the big picture of it and teaching kids and having something specific to say, okay, look at mm-hmm. the full thing. You got to figure out how you're going to get from point A to point B. And then now, like Nikki was saying, all right, that didn't work. Right. Let's stop and adjust. And I think sometimes we get so worried, and I'm falling into this too, doing so many new things right now. And we talked about mm-hmm. this a little bit last week about a little bit of this discouragement and this feeling like we have ourselves on our own timetable that we've established for ourselves. And we're, you know, I feel like this week I haven't been right. in that mindset, but last week I definitely was. But being able to even start with the kids when they're younger, it's not to me so much about the coding part of it, honestly. It's about teaching them to think
exactly.
from start to finish through a process, to work with other people from start to finish their process and to right. wrap up with it and to continue on there. And I think that skill is invaluable to people, to not just give up when you come across resistance, but to pivot, adjust, fix it, move on, and then do better the next time. And I think
that's great. And even when I did it, obviously when we recorded this and we went through it, in my head, I'm like, I'm a grown woman. I should be able to get this on the first try. Like, this is coding for kids. I'm grown. I have a grown-up mind. So surely, like, this is ridiculous. And I have this own, like, thought process of, if you don't get this on the first try, you are absolutely just exiled from anything technology. And I didn't. As you're going to see, I didn't get it on the first try. And that can be a little overwhelming sometimes to some people because they have such a high standard for themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's so, so good to take a moment and just be like, all right, it's okay. We can't just over-exaggerate the problem, because if we do that, then it's not going to get solved. So that didn't work.
Right.
Let's try to go again, reevaluate the situation, take a deep breath, and then do it again. And I think that again is so, so important to teach, especially at such a young age.
I love it. And I will be working on editing that video. And editing is one of my things that is not the strongest suit. So I'm having to apply those principles there as well to say, okay, that didn't work last time. Let's try something else this time, but to still continue moving forward. And I think it's good to be able to allow ourselves to learn new things and to make mistakes in the process. And that's good. That's not a problem. So that was one thing that we have worked on. And we decided that along the way, as we come across things that we feel a little bit more confident than we know that the other person does, that we may come up with these challenges or these hands-on opportunities where we kind of walk the other person through something that we have a little bit more experience in. And so this will be our first video that comes out where we apply that. And you'll see both Nikki and I on the same video, and I will walk her through this game. And
it's exciting.
And that will be coming out here very soon. One of the things that I have been working on is my sound. And I know that some people have said, your sound's getting better. So it is getting a little bit better, I think, but it's still not quite there. I've made some adjustments. I'm going to keep working on that. And we are also using a podcast website that I really like, and I really want it to work for us, but it's been cutting out in the middle of our recordings the last few weeks. And so I'm keeping an eye on that for today. So if you see me, my eyes shifting throughout today and I'm looking down, I'm looking to make sure that it's still recording because it keeps cutting us out. But we're using Riverside, and Riverside keeps coming up everywhere. Nikki, you haven't uploaded any of the podcasts to the different hosting sites yet, but I know when I go into Spotify to upload the podcast there, Riverside is part of that whole system. And they even have a thing, record in Riverside and just upload straight here into to Spotify. So I know that it's one of those things. I keep seeing all these people promote it, but for some reason it just keeps kicking us out right in the middle. So we're having to watch out for that. And so that's one of those things over the next week or so, I do want to pay attention to. One of the new things that I've come across over the last couple of weeks is Microsoft's ClipChamp. And I have a hard time saying that one. I had never even heard of it, I'll be honest. Have you ever used or heard of ClipChamp? I've used it for a couple of videos so far, and I want to love it. I like it. I don't hate it, because sometimes I open up an editing software and I'm immediately not interested at all. To me, I feel like it's a mix between, to me, it's a step down from Canva, in my opinion, but it's a step above some of the other editing softwares that I've used. Like, even using the editing here in Riverside, to me, you don't have very much capability, and there is more in ClipChamp that I've seen. To me, it's pretty limited in the graphics and things that it has available for you to drop in, but it's not too bad. So if you haven't tried out ClipChamp and you have access to it, test it out and check it out for some basic editing. But I don't know that I would go out of my way if you have something better. Let's transition into our I Spy AI segment. For our I Spy AI segment this week, we thought that we would acknowledge that we are in a time of the year, the school year, as teachers, we're looking at a school year here, where papers are starting to become due. Research paper season, I always think of the spring semester, kind of around this time of year as when research papers are getting done. And I remember in high school even, this was this semester, it was the last semester, that last year of senior year that I had to write a big research paper. That was a long time ago. I don't know how things still are in schools as far as K through 12. And I'm thinking more, you know, high school for this. But when you're writing a paper, you want to be careful that you're not using AI in an inappropriate way. And we've talked about AI the last few weeks and ways that it could be used. We've played around with it a little bit. And there is a difference in using AI for personal use, for things that are not being presented as if they are your own academic or scholarly work. And we wanted to make sure that people understand there are resources out there for you that can help you with writing papers. We see things like Grammarly. I've used Grammarly before years ago. Whenever I was in grad school, I used it one time to just kind of check through at the end and make sure that nothing came up as it being plagiarized. There was no intention of plagiarism that I had in that. I was just using it to make sure that my paraphrasing, all those things had gone through okay. And so, you know, resources like Grammarly can be helpful in that regard, but you want to be careful that it's not doing too much work for you, that it's not changing your writing to where it's no longer your writing. And you do want to be very careful about that. And I know there is a lot of talk about AI in the classroom and what's acceptable and what's not, but across the board, I have seen it that scholarly writing really should be from the person who is presenting it. And otherwise it is not accurate in saying that you wrote this if you had a robot write it for you or you had somebody else write it for you. So be careful of using those resources like Grammarly in a way that it's changing your paper to where it's no longer from you. Can you think of any others that would be similar to that? Nikki,
I don't typically use them. I never did either. When I was in grad school, I don't even remember off the top of my head what resource we used, but they also gave us a resource like Grammarly that we were allowed to drop our papers into, and it would check it for us because we were always afraid of citing something incorrectly, not trying to take anything plagiarized. We're not trying to do anything like that, but just we made an honest mistake and then we did something incorrect and it counts it as plagiarism. And so to avoid any of that, they gave us something like Grammarly, just something that we can check and we can go through and make sure things are paraphrased correctly. We gave credit where credit was due. And that's what we used. And I think that's fantastic. That's perfectly fine. But if, again, like you said, you're changing your words or they're completely rewriting it for you, well then that you're taking away credit from yourself. Like that's your words are now being gone. So you want to make sure that you have still your voice in your papers.
Yeah, we have that too. And so I think I only used Grammarly once. And then I realized that when I went to go upload, back then it was Blackboard and then it all switched over to Canvas. And we used Turnitin at two of the universities that I went to. And that was the one that we had at the end that we could dump our paper into that. And then it would give us a report to let us know, hey, it's flagging this as being plagiarized or it's flagging this as being a poor citation. And with your citations, you want to make sure you give credit to other authors. If they have given you that information and you found it, just cite it. If the school that you're at, whenever you go to upload your paper, if they have the plagiarism software built in that you can dump it in there and run the check yourself before they do, do it. Check it and see if how it's coming back. And then you may just need to go in and reword some things and make it work for you. Make sure that you're just using your own wording. And I think there's no point in not learning the material yourself and writing your own paper. It can be intimidating. It can be a lot of work, but there are good results that will come of doing the work that way and learning what you need to learn from that. And you don't need to resort to pulling from a robot and having them write for you when you need to know the material yourself.
Personally, so. I think the hardest part of papers is the citations and footnotes and endnotes. That can be a lot. And so there is AI that will do it for you. And I think that is used perfectly fine because that's not stealing something. You're properly giving credit where credit is due. So use all the AI, use all the plugins, get all of your information the easiest way that you possibly can and have the computer put it in there for you correctly. That is perfect. There's nothing wrong with that at all. We're talking about the actual meat of the paper. Yes.
The content.
That.
Yeah. But the formatting.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Use AI for format. Let AI set up your sources for you.
Take away that stress.
The Zotero video that Nikki put together was fantastic. That's a great resource. Let the computer do that part for you. Even Word will do it without having the extra add-on in there. We'll do it. Again, she talked about that in that last video that she did about the Microsoft. We can add it to this video here if you're watching it on YouTube. But don't let AI write the content of your paper. It's not worth getting in trouble for. It's not worth getting a zero on an assignment. It's not worth being expelled from a school. And you really want to have that knowledge base. It's not fun to go through life not having the knowledge that you're supposed to have. So even if it doesn't seem like it's something that you need to know now, all those little things will be helpful for you as you grow and mature and continue on. And maybe you're in grad school or you're, you know, furthering your education, the same thing would still apply there. I have a tech tip of the week for you, Nikki. You are new to the TikTok world. And I know that TikTok might be leaving us soon. I have no idea. Every time I see, it's like, I did this whole thing. You're going to get rid of it. I don't know. I don't know about that. But in the meantime, in case you don't know, when you're watching a TikTok, if you want to watch the video, but you want to make it go faster, if you hold down the left part of the video screen, it'll start making it go faster. It'll increase the speed to where the video
is faster.
So it'll do the speed. I think it'll go up to 2 times the speed so you can watch it. But just get
that's awesome. I had no idea.
So I think you've been on TikTok like once.
No.
Have you gone there more than once?
I went like the first time I made one of the reels. I had to text Tina and say, I don't know how to work TikTok. Can you upload this for me? So you uploaded it and then I went to the TikTok to see it. And then that's the only time that I've been on it. I'm not a TikTok person.
Well, it's learning. Okay, but if you ever go back again, just hold down the left side of the screen, and when you hold down it, you can just hold it down with your thumb as you watch your video.
Double speed?
The whole thing. So you just hold down the left side of your screen as you watch your video.
And that's amazing. I didn't know that.